Good morning. Welcome to Husky Nation News right here on WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. This broadcast is in collaboration with the UConn newspaper, The Daily Campus, and UConn student-run TV station, UCTV. I'm your host, Sarah Larshani, and welcome to our final show of the semester. Here's the news of the University of Connecticut from this week. Rapper A$AP Ferg energized a crowd of University of Connecticut students last Wednesday at Subog's annual fall concert. Our very own Adam Hushen reported that despite the 30-degree weather and snow flurries, the line to get into the concert stretched around the theater. Daily Campus correspondent Rachel Lamore reported that A$AP Ferg connected well with the audience and even stepped off stage during the opening song. He also threw water bottles into the crowd, including one that he personally used. The concert also hosted Groove Boston, who played hit songs such as Shake West's Mo Bamba and Drake's Nonstop. This Monday, I attended a panel of two activists who are currently pushing for an international treaty on violence against women. Take a listen. At 18 years old, Vidya Sri was happily in a relationship with her boyfriend Billy, until her dad found out. Sri was then sent to India, a country she had only been to briefly, and told that she could not come back without a husband. She married and came back to work in a bank, eventually making her way through the ranks and gaining the financial independence to leave the marriage.
And it went from feeling like I had this wonderful boyfriend to an incredible amount of violence and trauma.
After leaving, Sri called women's organizations to see if she can connect to women who had also been forced to marry.
I felt very alone, and I knew there must be so many other women like me, and I was determined to find them.
She was met with frustrating replies stating that forced marriages don't exist in the United States. She later founded Gangashri, an organization dedicated to research and awareness on forced marriage.
Everybody said to me, no, you didn't have a forced marriage. You had an arranged marriage. There's no forced marriage here in the United States. So that really, pissed me off, for lack of a better expression.
Sprawled up on her couch at the age of 30, Lisa Shannon recalls watching a segment on Oprah in 2005.
I was quite shocked that I had never even heard of the war that was happening there, deadliest war since World War II, and decided to just do what I could, which at the time was to run and raise money for women in the Congo.
The segment talked about the mass rape of women in the Democratic Republic of the Congo during its war. Shannon was so moved by what she saw, she started Run for Congo Women, and over the course of 5 years, raised more than $17 million for Congolese women. She later went on to co-found Sister Somalia, the first sexual violence crisis center for women in Mogadishu. She also started campaigns centered on addressing issues of violence against women. Shannon met Sri in 2013 at the Carr Center at the Harvard Kennedy School, where they were both human rights policy fellows. The two, with the help of activist Charles Clemens, began to work to create a treaty to end violence against women. Sri and Shannon discussed their work with Every Woman Treaty, also previously known as Every Woman Everywhere, in a speech entitled Mobilizing the World to End Violence Against Women, the Campaign for International Treaty, at the University of Connecticut on December 3rd. The speech was heard by more than 50 students and was organized by the UConn Human Rights Institute. The treaty, which they hope to release in February 2019, is modeled after the tobacco and landmine treaties. It's meant to be a hard set of goals that a country either does or does not do. Sri said it was important that this be a measurable goal and not just a recommendation that a country address an issue. Sri used the analogy of when everyone was allowed to smoke virtually anywhere, and now there are regulations around where smoking is allowed, due to the tobacco treaty. Despite pushback or claims that a treaty is not needed, the pair is adamant that a cohesive agreement to tackle violence against women is needed to solve the problem. They said that existing laws and treaties, specifically the Convention on All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, or CEDAW, allows for gaps in tackling violence. Shannon said that CEDAW does not even utilize the term violence in addressing discrimination against women. There are also gaps in addressing this issue from country to country. Shannon personally recalled an experience in Somalia in 2013 where a woman was arrested for allegedly making a false accusation that she was raped by security forces. The woman was given a finger test to see if she had been raped, and the incident sent shockwaves through the community. Women who Shannon had worked with refused to speak to her, other activists, or even each other in fear they could be arrested. Eventually, Shannon said an international petition called for the woman's release.
You do end up thinking, what about all the women who don't get 700,000 signatures? There's something wrong here, because foreign ministers could not really say, this is you are violating an international standard, right? All they could say is, tsk, tsk, you really ought not act that way. But there's no international standard around this.
Their proposed treaty could eliminate those gaps, according to Sri and Shannon. It's reported that 1 in 3 women will face domestic or sexual violence, but Shannon said that all women will face or know someone who has faced some form of violence. Sri said that after meeting Shannon and looking into the gaps of politics against violence against women internationally, she was able to understand why she was forced into marriage.
It really helps me understand what I just went through, right? So I was not an accident. There's a reason why I went through what I did.
For WHUS News, I'm Sarah Larshani. Some sad news this week. Former President George H.W. Bush passed away this past weekend at the age of 94. UCTV host Mike Cochillo reported that his casket was in the U.S. Capitol building, where people were able to pay tribute or respect. He will be laid to rest in Texas after his funeral. UConn's undergraduate student government passed legislation to fix student organization funding policies. Daily Campus correspondent Miranda Garcia reported that the new procedures will allow more organizations to have less out-of-pocket costs and also reach a $10,000 funding cap. Nandan Tumu, USG's chief justice, said that the new policies are easier to understand. The new policies work to streamline the process of requesting funding for Tier 2 organizations. USG also held a town hall before the procedures were set in effect to get student feedback. Female students at the University of Connecticut contacted the Mansfield Police Department after a fake post prompted participants to dress provocatively for an online breast exam. The survey was posted on UConn Buy and Sell Tickets, the Facebook page. Daily Campus correspondent Taylor Harton reported that the now-deleted survey was posted by a UConn student who said her account was hacked. A female student who prefers to remain anonymous at the Daily Campus said she got an email prompting her to set up a Google Hangouts account to complete the survey. She said the app was automated and prompted her to turn to the side and even take her shirt off, which she did not do. The message read, "It works best if you're wearing something tight-fitting with your best-fitting bra." The message also said, "It would also best to have other bras handy in case it asks you to change." The app also said that researchers were studying how breast size and shape factor into the risk of cancer and that participants can get up to $100 gift cards for participating. A 700-spot parking lot is under construction on Discovery Drive to replace the over 900 spaces that will be lost due to the building of the Next Gen Science Complex. Daily Campus News editor Marlies Lessing reported that the next parking lot will be built across from the UConn Innovation Partnership building. Lots X, N, and L, which hosted commuter and Area 2 employee parking spots, will be lost in the summer of 2019 when the new science complex is built. The new parking lot will be called K-Lot and will be located about a mile out from the center of campus. A new bus system is also under works to accommodate those who park in this new area. That's all the news we have this week. We'll now be going into a short break before starting the talk portion of our show, where I have a special guest to talk about nothing else than Harry Potter.
Inspired by UConn's commitment to developing active global citizens, Community Outreach's mission is to engage students in meaningful service activities that enrich their academic learning and enhance the quality of life for others in local, national, and international communities. With over 100 programs to choose from, there's sure to be one that will spark an interest. For more information about the programs and how to get involved, visit communityoutreach.ucon.edu.
This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Door.
And we're back from that. And we're back. We'll now be moving into the talk portion of our news show. Please note, from this point forward, the views and opinions expressed on this WHUS News Department show are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily the views of the staff, management, or licensee of WHUS Radio or the University of Connecticut. I'm here with our very own news director and Harry Potter fanatic, Daniela Donzel. So Daniela was actually very upset at the beginning of the semester when she realized that I had never seen the Harry Potter movies and have since been made to watch all of them. There may or may not have been, that may or may not have been forced, at least at the beginning. But I actually started thinking about Harry Potter again after the event that I went to on Monday. And so the event discussed, obviously, ending violence against women internationally, but I started thinking about, you know, the representation of women locally and how that sort of impacts some of the legislation or some of the things that women go through. And there is no better character to talk about female empowerment or female representation than Hermione. And so with that, I'm going to send it over to Daniela. So to start off, can you just introduce yourself and give us a little bit of background about who you are?
Sure, as if people haven't heard my voice enough on this air. So yes, I'm the news director here at WHUS. I'm also the producer of this show, and Sarah, you're doing a wonderful job. And as you mentioned earlier, I am a Harry Potter fanatic. I will, in my defense, I'm not as crazy as some Harry Potter fans who know, like, the minute details of everything. But I know a thing or two about the Harry Potter universe.
Well, on that note, for anybody else who was like me at the beginning of the semester and had not seen the films or read the books, because there are people that exist.
It's true. I didn't start reading them until this past summer. I didn't read the books until this past summer, yeah.
Yeah, but you saw the movies. That was true. Completely...
like, in the dark, you had no idea.
I had no clue what was going on in Harry Potter
at
all. And you are not the only person who was shocked and amazed by that. But... for anybody else who was in the same boat as I, give us a little bit of background, like a brief, I know it's hard, brief synopsis of the Harry Potter,
it's a children's series, so for those who don't know, Harry Potter follows the journey of a kid named Harry Potter, who is, I know,
so fascinating.
Listen, we got to get the basics down. So Harry Potter is a young boy who learns at 11 years old that he is a wizard. He is an orphan. He lives with what are called muggles, which are non-magical folk who are his aunt and uncle, and they're very cruel to him. They're not very nice. And so he learns that he's a wizard. He goes to Hogwarts, which is a wizarding school for witches and wizards. And there he meets Ron, which turns out to be his best friend, along with Hermione, who is one of our lovely female protagonists in the show, or in the movies. And it literally just follows the story of the boy who lived, who is Harry Potter, because there's this whole story behind him of being the only one who has survived the killing curse from Lord Voldemort, who is our main villain in the stories. And it's like a 7-book series type of it's an adventure.
So I know the book is called, and the whole series is called Harry Potter. But I actually think the main character is Hermione, and I may be a little bit biased. But give us some background. Give us some background about who Hermione is and sort of why she's significant, if you think she's significant.
Absolutely. Hermione is amazing, I think. I would also agree. I think she's a wonderful, just main character protagonist. She kills it. So Hermione is a young witch who is actually... So she is born to two muggles, and so she, was born into the human world, but she developed these skills, and she is absolutely intelligent, top of her class type of student. She is very studious, and she's very warm and giving and kind to people. I think people mostly know her for her intelligence, but I like to think of her also as just being a very kind person and thinking of others and making sure that, I think that's why, because a lot of people would say that Hermione is a Ravenclaw, who are mostly identified as like for their intelligence and their cleverness. But Hermione is put into Gryffindor, and you're just like, well, she's so smart. Why would she be put in there? And I honestly think it's because she is a very kind soul who thinks about other people and is like puts herself in harm's way to make sure that she protects other people, the house elves. But that's a whole different story.
All right. Kind of on that same note, obviously, I feel like when you think about Harry Potter, you think of the trio of Harry, Ron, and Hermione.
Yeah.
So give us a little bit more perspective on how Hermione's role sort of contributes to that dynamic and also how it kind of contributes to that level of heroism, because I think she plays an extremely significant role out of the three.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's funny because with the trio, you usually have like the funny one, the like main character, and then in this case it would be the smart one. So Hermione would fit in that smart role. And then Ron, even though I think they portray this kind of poorly in the movies, Ron is really our expert in like the wizarding world in the books. He's the one who, you know, when Hermione doesn't know something because she was born in the human world and knows that human culture, Ron is the one who knows about like the wizarding world. So I think Hermione in her role, she focuses a lot more on just like the like technical aspects of things that they're working on. So like, for example, when they are trying to figure out in the Chamber of Secrets, which is the second book, they're trying to figure out how they're going to get some information from the Slytherins. And Hermione comes up with the idea of Polyjuice Potion, which is something that the other two don't know about because they don't read. they don't study this stuff. And Hermione obviously knows that. And so she uses this intelligence to her advantage and to really push herself forward and push the group forward. Because if we're being honest, Harry would not have survived like half of the things he does. If it weren't for Hermione, like genuinely, I think so.
I feel like a lot of the times throughout the series, you see Harry sort of trying to be like a sole hero.
Right.
And so many times he gets himself into trouble, and that the person that sort of saves the day is always Hermione.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that speaks to about, you know, women being heroes,
yeah.
But I think it says a lot.
I think
when.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And I feel like, honestly, like, Hermione has some moments where she can get a little bit too much. Like, she is, like, you know, like, in her third year, she takes on way too many classes, and it kind of gets to her head a little bit. Not in, like, she's, like, egotistical, but she just, like, there's way too much going on. She has to learn how to, like, back off a little bit, and she has to learn her own limit, which is awesome, because we have to recognize that heroes aren't, you know, they're not perfect. They can't do everything, which I think is a great depiction of that. But I feel like Hermione is just, like you said, I think she really does come and save the day. And I think also she puts Harry in his place sometimes, because Harry likes to come up and like say like, oh, I'm the savior, like I'm the chosen one or whatever it is. And Hermione's just like, no, hold up, come back. And like she really puts like things into perspective into the group and reminds people of like, you know, let's think about this in a different light. It's funny because like this isn't really like a really like heroic moment, but I like to think about the scene where this was in, oh my gosh, this was in the fifth movie, so I think I could be wrong, but there's a scene where Harry had just had his first kiss with Cho Chang, and he was like describing it to Ron and Hermione, and he was just like, oh, it was very wet because she was crying, which is a weird way to say it, but whatever. And and Ron is just like, oh, like maybe Harry's a bad kisser. And Hermione's just like, well, no, like let's think about this for a second. Like Cho is actually having a really hard time. Like her boyfriend just died, and like all of this bad stuff has happened. So I think Hermione's also just like a reality check for these boys who are just kind of like trying to figure everything out, and she's just like there to be like the level-headed character.
I know I hate to always ask the question of, do you think the author intended this, but do you think J.K. Rowling was very deliberate in sort of inserting Hermione into that goal? Do you think she was doing something specific with that character?
I think so. I definitely think so. I personally think J.K. is a mastermind, but I think, no, when I've seen some interviews where she says that, you know, she's been planning this for the story for years, like ages even, and she's really put into much thought into it. So it would shock me to think that this was all just like by mistake or just by coincidence that she just wrote in this powerful character. Like, there's no way. I don't think there's a way for you to just not put thought into someone who's as complex and has serious heroic moments in the movies. Like I said earlier, Hermione is often viewed as just like the very intelligent student and studious person, which is valid and fair and true. But there are moments, and I think J.K. Rowling, this is what I'm talking about when she says she did this deliberately, has chosen moments to show that Hermione is more than just a studious person. So like at the very end of the whole series, Hermione has to make a terribly difficult decision where she has to erase the memory of her parents in order to save them from being persecuted by Lord Voldemort and his army, essentially. And that's a difficult thing to do, to like cast that spell and watch your parents right in front of you forget you. That's so hard. And I think that's really one of those moments where you see Hermione is more than just a person with emotion and a person who is willing to take that step to protect others. I think is just, those are just phenomenal scenes that you can't not think about when you think of Hermione.
So I have a question for it. And I know you said you recently read the books, but how long ago did you watch these movies?
I watch the movies at least 3 times a year, so I'm not going to lie, in order. So,
because my question is, what do you think having that type of character, and this goes for any other female character, but specifically Hermione, what does that do to little girls that are watching this and they see sort of such a heroic or such a very strong female representation?
Yeah.
And I mean, again, they started the movies off and they were like 11 or 12. And so you kind of see her grow from being like a little girl to being a young adult. I don't know how old she is when they end. So there's sort of a representation of various stages.
No, absolutely. I think when you're watching it, especially if you grew up watching it like I did, and like went into the theater each time, and you're actually growing up with these characters, you really get a sense of just like a visual representation of a timeline of a role model, if that makes sense. So when you look at Hermione at the very beginning, you know, she's this smart little kid. She kind of comes off a little sassy, which I kind of love. But, you know, when you're a kid, you know, maybe that's not the best message. But she's awesome because she's so smart. And the best part of about it is that her studious nature does not end. That always continues on. Like, that is very much a part of her core. She's always reading. She's always studying. And that's something that continues on. And so I think that's really important for, I personally think it's important for kids to see that, because it's like, you know, she was just, I think she was performing much better than her Harry and Ron. Like, if you look at their OWLs, they did okay. But Hermione, obviously, she did the top marks. She did great. And so, like, I also think there's a something that probably isn't talked about enough, where she is described in the books and she's portrayed in the movies, although they switch it out later, but that's just how the industry goes. She is portrayed with this very bushy, curly, like, all over the place hair. And in the book, she's also described with like buck teeth, and she's like described like she's not meant to be beautiful. She is not meant to be like an eyepiece, the way a lot of, not saying that her Harry Potter is a dystopian, but a lot of fantasy novels that have come out throughout the years recently have been dystopian. And a lot of the times those characters look like model-esque, you know, they look very beautiful, they have straight hair, like, they look great. Hermione's not meant to look that way. She looks like a regular little girl who's going to school, and she has like this really curly hair. And for a person like myself who had very fuzzy and curly hair, that was like, that was awesome. I was just like, oh my gosh, she's literally me. That's so cool. And I think that's not talked about enough. And I think it is because, like, once the movies progress and they get older, they straighten out her hair, and, you know, that's fair, because when you get older, you start, you know, taking care of yourself a little bit more. You learn how to take care of your hair, so that's fine. But I think that is a statement that they chose to make and kept going for, like, I think it's the first two movies they did that. And it was very refreshing to see that, because especially at the time when the movies came out, that was not something that you would see. So
I feel like that's only something you would notice, or somebody who's very into Harry Potter would, because I definitely did not notice that.
I do a lot of fantasy writing, and so I watch a lot of fantasy films, and so I notice these things, and especially because they're talked about nowadays. We talk about diversity a lot, especially with the new Fantastic Beasts coming out. People are talking about diversity all over the place, and so you start to think about these things, I personally think, anyway.
I'm going to back up a little bit for Hermione, and we're going to talk about just a little more of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
What house would you be in?
I'm a Slytherin.
You said that so proudly. Tell us. Explain the houses and what it means to be a Slytherin.
Yeah, sure. So there's four houses. There's Gryffindor, Slytherin, Ravenclaw, and Hufflepuff. Gryffindor is the house of the three characters that we've been talking about. They're really known for their courageousness and their bravery. They're kind of like a little bit of a flaw is that their courageousness can sometimes lead to... they don't think before they act. They're just acting.
We've never seen that in the Harry Potter series ever.
Never,
right?
Not at all. Uh-huh. So those are Gryffindors. Then we have the Ravenclaws, which I said earlier was more, they're known for their intelligence. They can be a little bit competitive because of their intelligence. They're very just like studious and, you know, they get their work done. And then we have the Hufflepuffs, which are their dormitories are right next to the kitchens, because Helga Hufflepuff, which was the head of house, the creator of the house anyway, she loved food, and they're just known to being like everyone's best friend. They're very loyal friends, and they're very carefree, and they're just lovely people, great house. And then there's the Slytherins.
10 out of 10 would recommend.
I love them, love them. and then we have the Slytherins, who are known for being, they're cunning, they're ambitious, and they're often associated, unfortunately, with the darker witches and wizards, because a lot of just witches and wizards who've gone bad have come out from that house. But really, Slytherins are known for their cleverness and cunningness and you know, thinking. And sometimes they're identified as being a little bit selfish, but you know, they're dedicated, I think. So yeah.
And just to give. Like, all the bad people that come out of Slytherin, like, Voldemort came out of
Slytherin. Yeah,
Slytherin,
yep.
All the Malfoys came out of Slytherin, so
yeah.
It really is.
They're also, associated with, like, the pure blood ideology, which is, like, they don't have any muggle lineage in their families at all type of mentality. They have a bad rep. So I'm Slytherin. I've taken multiple quizzes and tests. I've even taken the canon... Pottermore quiz, and that told me that I was Slytherin, so, and I think it aligns with my personality, so yeah.
Wow, she said it here first. She's very cunning. She might go over to the bad side very soon. I didn't say it, you did, so it's not up to me. All right, Danielle, we can talk about, or maybe you can talk about Harry Potter for ages. You've tried to get me to talk about Harry Potter for ages. But we're almost out of time, so is there anything else about Harry Potter that you think everybody should know? Or Hermione in specific, because that's where we started.
I am ready to watch the movies again, because it's December break is coming up, and I have I'm like deciding whether I want to watch the Harry Potter films or the Avatar: Last Airbender series. But yeah, I think the Harry Potter films are great, and I'm excited for the next Fantastic Beasts films to come out. The last one's questionable, but you know, that's what it is. And I have to get you, Sarah, to take the Pottermore quiz to see what house you're in. That's my goal now.
It took us a semester to get into Harry Potter. We'll see how long it takes before that happens. But I make no promises. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you to all of you for listening to our show. Thank you to The Daily Campus and UCTV for collaborating with us. And thank you to Ethan Smith, the creator of our theme music. I've been your host, Sarah Larshani, and you're listening to WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. I wish you all the best of luck on finals and hope you enjoy the much-deserved break.
Yeah, I hope you all enjoyed our first semester of Husky Nation News. It was fantastic, and we'll definitely keep it up next semester. Have a fantastic break, everyone.